Welcome, everybody, once again. We're continuing to ask this question about how to be known in the world as a Christian, how to be known as a church. Just coming off of Jesus' words in Matthew 5, where he said, "Let your light shine before men so that others can see your good deeds and give glory to God." It's an important part of being a Christian in the world, to let your light shine, to be known for your faith, and to be known in such a way that people see God and they're drawn to him. What does that look like? And there are several characteristics that the Bible talks about that reflect what God is doing in our lives, that we can shine out into the world, and things that God has called us to do and to be. And that's the goal of what we're looking at in this series of messages. So last week we took a look, our first look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And that's where we're going to be centering our focus today, if you want to open up to that. There are two characteristics that Paul describes in there as he's commending a church for the characteristics that they have displayed. And the first one we talked about last week was having an abundant joy in spite of difficult circumstances, and a joyful attitude rooted in our knowledge of who God is and what he's doing in our life is part of how our light is shown in the world. And today we're going to look at that second characteristic, the grace of generosity. So to get things started, we are going to read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7, and Mike has already volunteered to read that for us, so we'll let him share.
Good morning, everyone. Okay. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7. "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving."
Thank you. So Paul is commending this church in Macedonia. There's characteristics that they have displayed, and he's passing that on to the church in Corinth right now. And really all of chapter 8 is centered on this one, this generosity that they displayed. It was not something that Paul had commanded, but something that they wanted to do. They had is there some music playing? Sorry. Just distracted me. All right, sorry. That's all right. I just thought it was behind me. I'm like, what is that? Anyway. Church of Macedonia had this abundant joy in the midst of their affliction and generosity in spite of extreme poverty. And that's what really made that stand out. This is something they desired to do. As Mike read there, they urgently pleaded, or in the ESV translation, it says they begged earnestly for the favor of being able to give above and beyond their means to help out some brothers and sisters in Christ. They gave sacrificially above what anyone expected of them in order to have the privilege of taking part in the opportunity to lighten the load for some other people. And as Paul continues this letter to the Corinth church, he urges them to consider a similar demonstration of love. He's clear that this isn't something he's demanding of them, but he describes generosity as an outflowing of God's love, and he's just trying to help them see that something that ought to come out of a great love for what God has done. Take a look at verses 7 and 8 again. He says, "But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove your prove the earnestness of others, that your love..." Pages are stuck together. "That your love is also genuine." So this demonstration of generosity, Paul is just saying, it's an expression of your love for God. By following the example of the Macedonians, he's saying these people in Corinth can show how genuine their love is. It's one thing to say that you love, but it's another thing to show it. And that's what Paul is trying to express in here. Giving generously of yourself is a tangible demonstration of love. And he says a few things more about that in the next few statements. In verse 9, he says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have." So what he's saying here is that he wants them to follow through. They've expressed, a year ago, he says, they expressed this desire to give some generous gift, to help out some brothers and sisters in need. Yet they haven't done it yet. He's urging them, follow through. Make it known. Let your love be seen. And he sent Titus to make sure that it happened. And all of this is just to say that this generous act that Paul is calling to him is that tangible expression of love. Make your love be known. Now, Paul also makes it clear as he goes on that being generous doesn't mean that you impoverish yourself. It's not about giving everything you away that you have so that everyone else can benefit. In verse 13, he says, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you be burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may supply your need, and that there may be fairness." And what he is trying to help them see is a bigger picture here, that they all belong to the body of Christ. Where they have abundance right now, another group of Christians is in need, and so they can supply those needs. And at a time when the Corinthian church is going to be in need, somebody else will supply their needs. He helps them to see how this fellowship that God has called us to helps us all to be provided for. It's part of the way God provides for his people, is that a fellowship of people come together and they share freely with one another. And again, this is an outpouring of the love that God has shown us. One of the marks of the early church that we read about in Acts was that they sold what they had and they provided that money for the needs of one another. There's a benefit that comes in how God provides for us in connecting us with one another. Now, the challenge we often have in this is to understand where do we have abundance and where do we have need? Because our tendency is to always feel like we need more. And if I give anything away, I'm going to be losing out. And that's where the generosity that God calls us to is really rooted in faith and understanding that God provides all of our needs. He will take care of us. And if he calls me to give something away to somebody else, I don't need to worry about what's going to happen to me, that God is going to be providing for me. And then there's just that knowledge that comes, that freedom that comes from knowing that you'll be cared for, that allows us to have generosity toward others. Now, there's much the Bible has to say about having a generous heart. There are a few passages I can share on that. First of all, one that's often quoted is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, where God is speaking to the Israelites, and he says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." And so God makes this promise. Whenever he calls his people to give, he says, I will pour out a blessing on you. Proverbs 22:9 expresses something similar. It says that the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. This kind of thinking goes against our natural thinking, doesn't it, right? Like I said before, if we give, our natural tendency is to say, oh, I'm going to be missing out. I'm not going to have that thing anymore. What's going to happen to me? We have this scarcity mentality. Now, these promises that God makes that you will be blessed are not to say that you're going to be repaid necessarily, right? It's not that I'm giving a loan or I'm giving something to somebody and they're going to return it to me, because really there is no expression of love in that. That's just a transaction between people. When God talks about having a generous heart and living generously, he is saying give without any expectation of return. Just give freely. But what he is communicating is give freely knowing that I am here for you, that I will bless you. I will bless you in ways that you don't expect. It may not be in the same way that you have given, but don't worry is the main message. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about where these things are going to come from. I assure you that I am a generous God, and I will take care of you. And his promises to bless those who are generous go well beyond just being repaid. What does he say in Malachi? He will open the windows of heaven and pour down such a blessing that there will be no more need. He promises just to pour out his blessings on us if we will trust him. This is the assurance God gives us that we will be taken care of. So as I said a moment ago, there is faith involved in having a truly generous heart. It involves us really knowing and trusting in who God says he is, knowing that he will take care of us. That enables us to release our hold on what we have and just holding out to God and say, okay, God, I want to use whatever you've provided me for the sake of others so that they may know you. Now, the Apostle John emphasizes generosity as an outward expression of love. We're going to take a look at 1 John 3:16 through 18 for that. John writes here, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And again, getting back to that idea that being generous toward one another is a tangible expression of love. It's putting our money where our mouth is what comes to mind right now, right? You can say you love, but do you really love people if you're not willing to give something for their sake, to give up of yourself for their good? The Apostle Paul calls us to have that kind of love for one another, to really show it, to give what we have for one another's sake. Going back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 now, Paul points out the connection of giving generously with sharing God's love. So we're going to take a look at verses 6 through 11 in chapter 9. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's an important part of the key to understanding the generosity God calls us to, as I've already said, that God will give you all things so that at all times you may abound in every good work. He goes on, as it is written, he has distributed freely and has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving for God. And that's really the key that we want to focus on when we think about being known as generous people. To know that God will enrich you in every way so that you can be generous toward others. And that generosity is done so that they will give thanks to God. That's the ultimate goal in what God calls us to. Being generous with your love, being generous in showing people that love points people to Him. And that's always the goal in all these outward expressions that we talk about, is that people would know God through them. So there are several ways that God calls His people to live generously. And we can continue to explore more in the Bible about that. But I want to get to that idea of being known as generous people today. And the first thing that really comes to mind is there is actually a caution that Jesus gives about this. In Matthew chapter 6, He says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, I have heard this passage used many times to justify keeping quiet about your faith. Just keep it to yourselves. Don't tell anyone about it. Just live it out. But that's not really what Jesus is saying. You know, He is saying, don't draw attention to yourself. When you're giving to people, don't make it all about you. Right? The point of what He's saying is don't seek to be honored by others for what you give. Don't try to get your reward from giving, because then you're making it about yourself and you're missing the point. The point is to make God known. And so this is something that we have to watch. And there is some value in as being as anonymous as possible when you're talking about tangible expressions. Notice in 2 Corinthians, Paul doesn't point out who in the Macedonian church gave what. He doesn't give a list of, here's the people who are really good about giving. He just commends the whole church together. And I see some value in that, as being known as a church body, as being a generous group of people. That kind of deflects some of that personal pride that can creep in. But even so, regardless, it's good to think about, how do I live in a generous way without it becoming something about me? And even if we do a good job, I think, of not highlighting ourselves, keeping it secret, not letting our left hand know what the right hand is doing, as Jesus said, you can still be known as a generous person. Because there's something about this attitude of generosity that goes deeper than just what you give and who you give to. Generosity motivated by love is an attitude of the heart, and that becomes apparent in your interactions with people, no matter what you do in that moment. It becomes clear that you're a person who has a desire and a willingness to help other people in need. It becomes clear that you're the kind of person who has this outpouring of love and a generous spirit toward one another, even if people don't know what and if you're giving. And I think you can see this more clearly when you consider that generosity, the attitude of generosity, really extends beyond giving material things to people. It's more about the attitude that drives that giving away, an attitude that seeks ways to overflow love into people's lives and demonstrate God's character to them. When you look carefully what Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 8, there's something significant, I think, in a way he expresses this. Take a look again at verse 7. Well, it's really actually starting in verse 6. He says, "We urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also." Now, some translations will say, like the NIV, I know, says the grace of giving. And they emphasize the giving as the act of grace, which is what Paul is expressing. But when you look at the original Greek that he wrote, he doesn't even say giving there. He just talks about this act of grace. And that really struck me as I was thinking about this generous attitude that comes through, that we want to be known for, even when we don't want to share the specifics with people. That a generous attitude is an act of grace. And just think about that for a moment. What is grace? In the biblical context, grace is undeserved reward or merit, being given something that you don't deserve. We celebrate the grace of God because we as sinners deserved his punishment, and yet he offered us forgiveness. That's grace. We did not earn it. We did not deserve it. Or think about grace from the perspective of the one giving grace. It is giving something to people who haven't earned it or don't deserve it. So Paul is saying that having a generous attitude, giving generously to others in need, is an act of grace. And I think that, I don't know, for me, it takes that idea of having a generous character much deeper than what we have often talked about in the church. So often we talk about how God calls us to be generous, to give to others, to fulfill their needs. And yes, that's part of it, but can we understand that the reason he calls us to, what he's looking for in that, is not just that you will be this generous person who provides for others' needs and that they will be fulfilled and they will be satisfied. No, he is asking us to show grace to people, to use generosity as a vehicle for helping people understand how much God loves them. Being generous as a Christian goes beyond just looking to provide for people's needs. It means taking opportunities to demonstrate God's grace to people. And every time I consider this, I consider how much grace people generally experience in the world. It's not a lot, is it? People often don't expect to be shown grace. We've had people come into this church, newcomers to the church, and they've expressed to us how tense they feel because what if we find out about the things that they've done? We're going to judge them. We're going to send them away. We're going to tell them how awful they are. That's the expectation people have, because that's pretty much how the world treats people. If you've done something wrong, you can expect to be judged for the rest of your life for that act. You'll be expected to repay. You'll be expected to make up for it, right? That's the economy of the world. But that's not what God did for any of us. God says, I know that you have failed me, that you have rejected me, that you have ignored me. I'm going to love you anyway, and I'm going to pay for your sins. That's an incredible gift that most people don't understand. So when it comes to giving to others, of having a generous attitude, it is a grace to see someone in need and without finding out what they're doing about it, how they're improving on it, how they got there, but to simply say, you know what, I'm going to fill that need because God has given me an abundance in some way to help them. Now, in our world, I know that this gets complex because we don't want to just enable people. We don't want to just keep giving and giving and giving unless, of course, God is calling you to. Unless there's a reason God keeps saying, you know what, there's hope here. There's a reason here, and there's something that I'm going to do through them. But our hope is that in giving to people, it will help them get to a point where they can live life differently, ultimately seeing God and turning to him. But getting off on a tangent a little bit there, it's a grace to see that somebody has a need and say, I am going to provide for that need, whether they've earned it And regardless of how they respond, I don't expect repayment. I'm not going to monitor them and make sure that they're making good use of it. I'm just going to give because I want to show them grace. I want them to experience just a little bit of what God has given to me, in the hopes that their hearts and minds would be opened and drawn closer to Him. Giving is an act of grace. And that really fits well in what Jesus said about giving. Take a look at Luke chapter 6, 37 and 38. This is the last passage we're going to look at today. Luke chapter 6. Now, you may recognize this passage. It's used often in talking about generosity toward others. Verses 37 and 38. Jesus says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Now, I have heard this passage preached many times, especially focused on that last part, that good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put in your lap, to say, if you are generous toward others, God is going to pour out a huge blessing into your life. And this is true. This is what the Bible declares. But I want to take a good look at what Jesus is telling us to give. That word give that is used here in Luke is actually a fairly general term that takes its specific meaning from the context of the words around it. So Jesus isn't specifically saying give stuff away to people and it will be given back to you in this passage. That give and it will be given to you is referring to what he said before that, where he said, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. There is a giving involved in those. There's a grace involved in those. Deciding not to judge someone who deserves to be judged is a giving of grace. It's a generous act. Not condemning when they deserve to be condemned, and forgiving even if they don't ask for forgiveness. Those are all a generous giving of yourself to that other person, and they are an act of grace. And Jesus says, as you give these things to others freely, generously, they will be given to you in a good measure, overflowing, pressed down. This is all part of the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. As we've already talked about today, we are all guilty of sin and deserving of God's wrath and punishment, His judgment and condemnation. Yet God chose not to. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. He came to offer us forgiveness for sin. He gave up His life, the ultimate sacrifice, as payment for our sins. That grace is unbelievable. It catches me every time. I feel like whenever I'm talking about it, I'm not saying enough about how wonderful this grace is. So I can't you just can't put it into words. And that grace goes on and on every day. That grace of offering forgiveness and new life to those who do not deserve it is just the most incredible gift, and it's so unheard of in our world. So God, through so many ways, invites us as His people who have experienced this grace, to demonstrate that grace to other people. And this call to be generous people is part of that call to show grace. So this is the essence of what I want to get to today, that we are called to be generous people, giving what we've received even though we don't deserve it, so that others may experience that grace too. Whether it is giving material possessions or money to fill a need, to help other people get out of a difficult place that they're in, whether it's helping your brothers and sisters in Christ or somebody outside the church, it really makes no difference. You're providing a need in love out of grace to help them get ahead, or whether you're deciding not to judge or to extend forgiveness. All of these things are part of this call of being a generous person. It's an attitude of the heart that comes through in so many ways. And this is what I think about when I think about being known for our generosity. To be known as people who are willing to give grace in tangible ways because of our love for God. Let's be known for this grace of generosity, seeking to show people both in and out of the church, everywhere we go, the incredible, unearned love of God through these tangible expressions of love. Giving what we have been given so freely. Giving of the abundance that God pours into our lives in all kinds of ways to fulfill the needs that we know people have, whether they recognize them or not, and provide opportunities for them to know and love Jesus more. That's the grace of generosity. Let's be known as those kinds of people. Let's give thanks to God for his grace and his generous love for us as we end our time of worship today. And ask God to help us express that generosity toward others. Lord God, we do love you. We thank you for the love that you've shown us. Lord, may each one of us today just be overwhelmed with how much love you have, because it is far greater than we often imagine, Lord. We thank you for your ongoing grace for us, Lord, as your people, as we stumble through life seeking to live for you. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as a church with the ability to be known as generous people. Through all kinds of means and on many different ways, Lord, let us be known as people who are willing to give of ourselves so that others may know your love. In all we do, Lord, we want you to be known and you to be praised. Help us, Lord, to express that in tangible ways as we live out our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen.